Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. I'm JP. He is Nick. Nick, how are you, brother?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. I am good, man. We are just chock full of interviews lately.
I know.
I love it. It's a beautiful thing. Today on the show, we are stoked to have quite a legendary fella. He is the driving force behind the Lane Frost brand. But importantly enough, today he is a dad. Welcome to Dadcast, Mr. Stetson Frost. How are you, man?
Good. How's it going, guys?
It is going good. Thanks for taking time out of your day to join us and talk about being dads, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Absolutely. Awesome. So, rite of passage, man. The very first question we ask all our guests, it's kind of formality. We already know, but we're going to ask it anyway. Are you a dad?
I sure am. I'm a father of two right now.
Right now? Whoa. Is there another child in the works?
There is. We have our third son due in September.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
So by deductive logic there, I like to think I'm a fairly smart guy. That means you have got two sons.
Yes, sir.
How old are they?
So Harrison will be four next month, and then Hudson's 18 months.
Harrison and Hudson. Are you going for the Triple H?
I think we are. You know, we're too deep now.
Right?
If we would have skipped one already, we'd have been all right.
Harrison, Hudson, what's left? Han.
Talked about maybe like Hayes.
Ooh. Like that. There you go. I can dig that. I hope that's not divulging too much information too soon for the world, but I can dig that name. Absolutely. Hayes. Cool, man. Well, so how has it been being, a dad to all boys? See, we run the gamut.
You, sir, are quite possibly the luckiest guy we've had on the podcast.
He ain't kidding, man. Nick's got a few girls. I've got two girls, one boy. One of my girls turns out she's going to be she's 17 going on 30. And it's rough. It's difficult at times. I wouldn't trade it in for the world, but I couldn't imagine having all boys. I mean, I know there's got to be some difficulties there.
Nothing shocks me. Everything shocks mama because she's a girl. So right. Everything they're doing, she's like, is that normal? I'm like, oh, yeah, that's normal. If we could just keep close on the oldest one, we'd be doing good.
How old's the oldest one again?
He'll be four next month.
Four. And,
he's pretty much a nudist. So,
well, that's normal. I mean, it doesn't. I mean, mom, if you end up watching this back, I'm 47 years old and I still don't like to wear clothes when possible, right?
Yeah.
4 years.
He's in a 3-year-old program, so he'll come home from school and he'll strip off, and he likes to go number two under the trampoline. That's his spot. So,
I'm not looking forward to that.
That's some difficult potty training. How do we get him out of doing that? Do you put maybe a little trainer potty underneath the trampoline?
You know, he uses the potty for in public or he's at school. He's golden. But when he gets in his element, you better watch it. He's going to drop a deuce in the backyard.
Oh, Stetson, and thank you for our clip. That will be the promotional video right there. So I've got a cool. It has nothing to do with anything, I don't think. At least I can tell you from my end of things. But I would like to divulge some information with you. My father, his name, first name, Lane.
Oh, very cool.
Born in 1938. Unfortunately, he passed away about 12 years ago. My son, his first name is Sawyer. My middle name, and I think 4 or 5 generations back, was middle name. And I'm divulging some secrets here, is Granville. We've looked it up. It's a family heritage thing, but my father passed away when my son was in utero. So I decided to switch things up and changed the way everything has been. And my son's name is Sawyer Lane. And I gave him my father's first name as his middle name. And I don't know. That's so cool. You know, I'm like, we're having Stetson Frost on and the Lane Frost brand. And I know it has nothing to do with anything, but I had to bring it up. So
no, still, that's really cool. We have a lot of people that, I'm here in Austin at the booth. we've been going 4 days here, and I've already had 5 or 6 people come up. You know, my name's Lane, my son's name's Lane, we've named my daughter Lane, like lots of that. So it's super cool to hear that. It really is.
That's cool, man. And here I thought I'd be the only one. No, of course I didn't think that. So Stetson, take us back about 5 years ago, give or take. Something's going on in your daily life and you are dropped a bombshell. You, sir, are going to become a dad for the first time. What were the emotions running through yourself that day?
How do I make this work? That's the first.
Along with everyone.
Yeah. No, I was super excited. You know, being a dad is something that's always been important to me. I've always wanted to be one. You know, my dad's a good guy, but he works off and, you know, I never was around him much. And I had stepdads and we didn't do a lot together and things. So I always like when it's my turn, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do and be a dad. So I couldn't wait. Honestly, I've been, you know, I was giddy from when I found out, but yes, the initial wave was like, all right, I got to step up my game. You know, I gotta be a better man. I gotta step up. So
how did she let you know?
So, I'm a big nerd, man. Comic books, okay. Star Wars, all that stuff. So, I have a Darth Vader cup. There you go. I have a Darth Vader cup at home. It's like an oversized coffee mug that I used to drink out of. Now I don't. But so my wife, she stole it,
right?
And took it with her to work one day. And I got up that morning. I was looking for my. It was so funny. Yeah, I was looking for my mug and couldn't find it. So I didn't think nothing of it. I texted her, said, "Hey, you seen this?" She said, "Oh yeah, I accidentally took it with my coffee." I was like, "All right, no big deal." So she gets home that evening. She's like, "Hey, here's your cup." And she said, "I put some whiskey in it. Take a shot." And I was like, that's weird. Okay. So she put some whiskey in it. I take a shot. I turn it up. In the bottom of the cup, she put a father soon you will be. And
like, oh, from yoga. My gosh. Like, that is great.
I'm about to drop and broke my cup. I'll be honest.
That father soon you will be. Oh, that is amazing. Love that story.
Good.
And I
good.
Love hearing. I mean, this is like 2 days in a row. In fact, we had Jason Michael Carroll on yesterday, country superstar, and he's a huge Star Wars fan. He actually had a life-size Chewbacca in his little recording room that was a Halloween costume. So I love hearing that. Have you been to Disneyland and made your own lightsaber yet?
I have not. I needed kids to justify it. They're not old enough yet, so I'm waiting a little bit to take them.
I hear you. But you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I've got one right there that I went to Disneyland 2 years ago. It's sitting up on its little shelf right there, but a little secret. And I can say this out loud because by the time this episode drops, that vacation will be over. I'm leaving in 2 days. We're in Southern Oregon, taking the whole family to Disneyland for 4 days next week. And I've already got the appointment. Because you got to make appointments these days to take my son and myself in to make 2 more lightsabers. And $500 later, we're going to have 2 more lightsabers, man. Just deciding what color I'm going to go with and do I go good guy or bad guy. What was that?
That's how much it cost. Like they gave it to me, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. No, this one, mom is fully aware of what's happening. And I think I had bribed her by saying she can get her own like Disneyland coach purse or something. I don't know. But yeah, man. So we're looking forward to that.
Pretty sure the Disneyland coach purse is quite a bit more expensive than the lightsaber.
All right. So, okay. Next question. Sorry. Oh, by the way, we tend to go off the rails on this podcast, Stetson. So just, you know, it's going to happen. I'm going to try to reel us back in here. So 5 years ago, you find out you're going to have a kid. And then that fateful day happens. What were your emotions going through the day of birth? And were you in the room? Did you see everything? I mean,
yeah, it was actually really wild. So we live in Southeast Oklahoma, small town. And there's a town called Broken Bow about an hour and a half from us. They're real popular right now. They built a bunch of cabins. It's kind of a destination spot. So Kelsey's 5 weeks early at this point. Starting to have some pain and stuff. And she's a full-time hygienist at this point too. And she's still working. She loves her job. So she was going to work till they wouldn't let her.
Right.
And she started hurting a little bit. So we took her in and they're like, oh no, you know, you got plenty of time, you know? Okay. So that weekend we decided we were just going to go to Broken Bow, get away. Her family went, well, she started really hurting that night and like acting like she's about to give birth. And from where Broken Bow is to Ada, Kelsey's Choctaw, so we use the Chickasaw Clinic in Ada, Oklahoma. We're 2.5 hours. So we get in the truck and we start hauling butt. We got to get home. You know, we got to grab the go bags and we get home. We get to Ada. He's breech.
Oh, no.
They alert a bus. They drive her 2 more hours to Oklahoma City. And I kept up with my truck for about the first 20 minutes and I couldn't. I mean, they're just weaving in out of cars, driving right on some medians. I mean, whatever they got to do to get there. And I couldn't keep up. So I finally get there. So it turned into, you know, a 5-hour trip to the hospital. And we get there. I beat them in because, you know, by the time they offload from the ambulance and get her actually to the floor, I beat them in and I'm scared to death. You know, I don't know what's going on. My wife ain't seen her in 2 hours. I just followed them up here. So I'm just sitting in this room and kind of freaking out. And they bring me this, you know, the full body smock. They're like, "Hey, throw this on." I was like, "What's happening?" They're like, "Oh, we're going to deliver him in about 6 minutes. So
go time."
Yeah. You know, they have it all down to a science because they're, since he's breached, they're having to do C-section. So I put this, you know, I look like a human marshmallow and I'm just standing there waiting like, now what? And they pull me back there and they come sit me by her. Well, you know, they put a drape up, you can't see nothing, you just kind of see your wife's head. They kind of, you know, work, you can't see nothing but her head. So I'm sitting there talking to her, just checking on her, and she's loopy because they got her drugged up. Well, they have one of those stainless steel mirror light type things for, you know, for them to see above. It's massive. Well, the stainless steel was so vividly clean, I could watch the whole procedure off the stainless steel. So I'm sitting there halfway looking up, watching them just like slicing my wife open like a fish, you know. I mean, they're just filleting in to get him. And I'm sitting there like, oh my gosh. And they pull him out. I get over there. And, you know, as a dad, you don't have all the emotions a mom's having through the pregnancy and getting close to the baby from him. You know, you don't have all that. So when he come out and I saw him and they let me hold him, I was like, this is it. This is as good as it gets, man. So that's my firstborn story there.
That's a good one, man. That's what I love about this podcast.
Yeah. Right.
We get all kinds of stories, and that marks the very first time there was an ambulance chase involved.
Yes,
that amazing
5-hour trip to the hospital, man.
And I like how you touched on that. I hinted on this a few episodes back. I forget who we were talking with, but I remember mentioning that how my lady, she got upset with me many years back when she was pregnant because I slipped and said that even though she's pregnant, probably 6-7 months in, we're deep into it, I said I wasn't a father yet. And that irked her. And that was just the you know, the male mind. It's like, the child has not arrived. He's in there and you're bonding and you can feel him and you're feeding him and you're doing all this stuff. But for us, you know, it was like poof, pop them, bam, now I'm a father. And, I think she grasped a little bit more of the male psyche when it came to that, when I explained it to her, and me, of course, also totally get what she meant. But yeah, man, isn't that just whew, amazing. And you get to do it again real soon. Number 3.
Yeah. And the last one was during COVID. So that was interesting. Just, it was all different. A lot of procedural, you know, they told us we couldn't leave the hospital and, I was like, I can't leave at all. Like to go get food even. So I packed ice chest. I was camping in the hospital pretty much.
Nick's got stories.
Yeah, my baby was born right in May 2020 and he got taken right to the NICU right after he was born. So my wife got to go with him and I didn't get to see him for almost 3 months. They finally let us after about a month. They finally let me come in once a week for an hour. And then, yeah, so that was rough. So it was weird not bonding with him and not having the feeling like he was mine kind of a thing. So that took a while to when he got home and took a few months to finally get to the point where, okay, he's mine. He's like my best friend.
So yeah. Right.
Yeah. That's what happens when you turn 40, your best friend is an 18 month old.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, my best friend is 400.
I just took a step back and I'm watching you two and I'm realizing, man, I really want a hat. Look at you two. You both look fantastic.
I'm sorry I didn't early. It's been so wild. Like,
no, it's all good.
Someone requests something back in the day. It's like, yeah, I'll get that out. I go get it out. And now my schedule has gotten so wild that I don't even want to promise anything anymore because I hate disappointing people or letting people down. So I just quit promising.
Yeah, good. Well, that wasn't my intention. My intention was to say you both look freaking terrific.
I was stoked that I was able to find it at Boot Barn. Shout out to Boot Barn.
Yeah.
That great was Boot Barn.
Yeah.
So tell us about, and now we're going to get into what you're probably used to here just a little bit. Tell us about the Lane Frost brand, man. But I want to go back to the beginnings. What was the inspiration? I mean, obviously we know what the inspiration was, but how did this whole thing get started? And how did you reach to such successful heights in a relatively short amount of time?
So we'll go origin story, you know, the nerdiness here. So Lane Frost, I mean, his name is synonymous with bull riding and rodeo.
Your uncle?
Uncle, yeah. So how that works is the movie doesn't portray it, but Lane had siblings. He had an older sister. Lane was the middle, and my dad was the baby, okay? And, you know, Lane was 25 years old when he passed. So he did all that in 25 years. I'm 35, and I still didn't accomplish a fourth of what that man did. Right. You know what I'm saying? So he just, you know, he had the total package. He could do it. He was the athlete. He could cover anything they gave him. He was handsome. He was charismatic. He was good with people. He knew how to carry himself. He knew what to wear. He just had the total package. And there's guys now that, you know, very few of them have all that going for them at once. You know, he treated bull riding like a business. It was a business, and he was going to be the best at it. So, you know, in that 25 years, and I was a baby when he died. So all my stories are literally of what people told me and grandma, Lane's mama, has told me. And, you know, so all these years I was like, man, it'd be cool to do something to honor Lane, and didn't know how, didn't know what that looked like. And, you know, actually the 9th of this month was 7 years on the dot since we started. And, I just went to my grandmother, Elsie, approached her, and my aunt Robin, because, her and grandma kind of had, you know, spearheaded what they had done with Lane's legacy since that point. And I just told them, I said, hey, you know, I want to make some hats. I'm just making them for me and maybe some friends. This wasn't planned to do this. And that's what I think why it's been so successful. Cause the things that happen more organic and more natural, it's just easier that way. You know, if you don't have to force people to do something, they're going to do it on their own. So, you know, I got the blessing. I literally saved up $600. I made some hats. Here we are 7 years later, number one hat in all Western wear stores, number one cologne in all Western wear stores. We're in 7 countries. We're shipping out about 10,000 hats a month. I've got a 7-man team now. Just 3 years ago, I was doing this all by myself. So it really snowballed in a good way. I mean, we're blessed. I pinch myself every day. You know, I'll go in the warehouse after hours when no one's in there, and I'm like, what did I do? And
nice, right? And
like, what did I get myself into? And this isn't me. You know, this is Lane's legacy. I'm just providing the vehicle. I don't take any credit. I mean, I work my butt off to build this brand, but the brand is Lane. Without Lane Frost, this brand doesn't exist.
That's pretty amazing, man. Congratulations.
Awesome. Yeah.
Thank you.
How have you, I mean, so things have gotten busy considerably. Obviously, you had to hire a few more people. How have you juggled dad and business?
And you know, honestly, like I'm dad first. Like nothing matters to me but dad and husband. Like those are the two things. Having a close knit home life, I didn't really have that. You know, my mom had her moments where she was a good mom, but she had a lot of problems personally, a lot of demons. And then, like I said, you know, I said stepdads, and you know, my dad, he's a good man. I love him, but we don't have a close knit relationship. He's always worked off. So when I had children, I was like you know, dad is what I am. You know, I identify as dad first. So, juggling wise, I just make a point, you know, every day I get up, and I get up late. I get up about 9 because once my feet hit the floor, it's nonstop till I go to bed. So, my wife graciously lets me sleep until about 9 every day. And once I hit the floor, it's on. You know, I get my coffee, throw some clothes on, and our warehouse is about 20 yards from my front door of my house. So I'm always at work, always there. You know, it's always there. So I make a point about 6 o'clock, I turn it off. I'll do some social stuff. You know, I kind of have a social schedule in my head when I post, but past that, I turn it off. I'm playing with the kids. I'm helping wife. We kind of have a system. You got to have roles at home because there's a lot of chores, you know? So Kelsey's always been the dishes and I've always been laundry. And that's just kind of the roles we've taken. I just, you know, I'll pick an evening, I'll turn on a, you know, basketball game, football game, something, and I'll just start folding, you know. And, you know, people assume, you know, oh, this big brand, we're good size, but I'm on my yard, I do my laundry, I wipe butts, I clean a living room about six times a day. Y'all know how that is.
Oh, yep. Man, I got to do it literally right now.
Oh, I know. And,
It got dirty and the kids aren't even at home. Don't know how it happens.
It's just boys are putting themselves back where they were in the floor. Yeah.
All right. So you touched on turning on a game. You know, I got to go there, Nick. Is Stetson Frost a sports fan, in particular football?
Oh, big time. Football and probably UFC are my two things.
Okay. Well, I got a funny UFC story for you here shortly. But first, who's your NFL team?
I would say proximity wise and, you know, just longevity of me watching football, probably the Dallas Cowboys. I'm 2 hours from the stadium.
Okay. I got no problem with that at all. I'm a player
guy, though. When Brian Urlacher was on the scene, I didn't miss a game. Brian Urlacher was my hero growing up.
Nice. That was my lady's favorite player, too. She became a Bear fan because of him.
Yep.
Oh, that's good stuff. See, when I was a kid, the Dallas Cowboys, the Landry years, they did spring camp at CLU, California Lutheran University in Thousand Oaks, California, where I grew up. And my dad would take me there. And I got to play catch with Randy White, Too Tall Jones when I was a kid, carted me around on his shoulders once. So I got me some love for the Cowboys, even though it's the Raiders first.
Gotcha.
It is what it is. So UFC, Nick's got a funny story. You know who Josh Berkman is?
Oh, yeah.
Nick, go.
So I'm in the midst of COVID, right? I've got it. I'm dying. And we're having an interview with Josh.
Just like this, right here.
Just like this. And for some reason, I'm like, shit, we should fight, bro. we should do like a charity fight. And he's like, okay. So that's coming up soon.
If fastest so knockout,
we have another co-host on standby just in case I die.
Very cool.
But yeah, no, he's a really cool guy. It was super funny. I'm like, I had 103 fever. We're doing this podcast and I'm loopy, just like, whatever. I got this.
It's going to be like off Rocky when him and Hulk Hogan have their charity battle.
Exactly. And, yeah. Except I'm trying to figure out which one is Thunderlips. It's probably Josh Berkman. No, because that would make you Rocky. See, that doesn't work.
I don't know, man. I've been training hard.
We might have to compare it to like the Claymation MTV.
Celebrity Deathmatch.
There it is. Oh, yeah. Claymation you. That would be amazing.
Dude, that would actually be really cool.
It would be less dangerous for you.
A whole lot less, yeah.
Celebrity Deathmatch. That's what it was called.
Yeah.
So you have your warehouse is on site where you live. So that's a bonus, I'm assuming. So, I mean, if there's anything that comes up or they need dad or mom needs you, you're right there.
Oh, yeah. It's a blessing and a curse. Yes,
I know that one. Oh, man. Well, you know, you can all is there. So baby number three is on the way. It's another boy. Are we going to keep trying for a girl? Is that the ultimate goal here?
I think my wife has finally convinced herself pregnancy is hard and she's done.
I'm hoping that won't happen. Hey, Nick, Danielle, you watching this episode? There I go again. I'm sorry, Nick. So Nick has six children ranging from pushing a year and a half.
He's actually almost two. Yeah. He's going to be two in a couple months.
Two to 20 something.
22.
And they're working on another, aren't they?
Yeah. Yes, we are. We go in, we start IVF again in May. So, yeah.
Stetson doesn't know what to say. Speechless, just like I am.
What should I ask? Like, why so many? Why are you still going? Your wife.
I'm really good at what I do.
Like,
so many questions.
Minus the talent and the money. I don't know.
That's what you got me for, man.
You've got to be one rock star out of seven, surely, right?
Right. I don't know. I love kids. It's kind of one of those things. When I was younger, I absolutely did not want kids. And then I was young and had my first kid and I'm like, okay, this is the coolest thing in the world. And yeah, just kept having them, finally met the right person. And so I think we're now on a better path.
You know, so, part of this is also your dedication and love for that lady of yours, Nick.
Yeah,
absolutely. Definitely. So, you know,
A lot went into this baby. Like I had to get unfixed. So there's a whole lot of,
It could be worse. It could be like Jan off of The Office. you know what the toll is on a man getting getting fixed and unfixed and fixed and unfixed.
Careful, Stetson, your nerd's coming out, man. I'm just saying. Oh, man. That's all right. You're like me, man. I mean, I'm assuming under that hat of yours, at least I see the ginger beard. I'm assuming there's some red underneath that hat.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Yeah, see, that means you and I don't want to say bred from the same cloth, but close to the fact that we're both gingers and total nerds in disguise. That's amazing. That's although you're not quite at where I'm at, where my beard is basically all white and I have to dye it so it still matches up top.
You need to stop dyeing.
I'm not doing it, bro. I'm not doing it. When this starts going, then I will let that go. But
well, this is turning white, and my hair is getting there. Like it's significantly started turning white in the past 6 months. So I don't know what's about to happen here.
Oh yeah, it's the redhead. I'm telling you, we go gray early, but this won't do it yet. This is stock, man. This is all. It's like why my beard's almost completely white. I do not know why it's not catching up here. So anyway, Nick shakes and shaking his head. It's almost. Yeah, it's not even gray. It's more like clear.
I embrace the George Clooney. That's what I call this salt and pepper stuff.
Well, if you didn't have to suffer through being a redhead your entire life, you don't understand.
I'm blessed.
Are any of your kids redheads?
Mine? No, man. They're blonde cotton tops.
Yeah, okay.
Curly hair. So curly. It's just ringlets, man. And we did. He's had 4 or 5 haircuts because everybody's like, oh, don't cut it. They'll go away. They ain't going nowhere. I mean, he looks like a baby.
Well, it's a safe bet. Then your grandkids are going to be coming out redheads, man.
Probably.
It always skips a generation. My lady, she thought for sure we were going to have a redhead. I'm like, nope. I'm telling you, our grandkids will, but these ones not so much. And I was right. Oh, poor thing. Nick.
Yes.
Have you put together a Fast Five?
Oh, I did. Kind of. Not really, but we'll make it work.
Well, you just go with your get-go. So Stetson, this is a little part of the Dadcast. Nick asks 5 questions. They're not crazy intricate or anything. And they're fun. And I might add a couple afterwards. And if you would like to add some to us, we are game.
Let's go.
All right.
Okay. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
Ooh. Well, I do have a billboard and a picture of Lane on it that says lanefrost.com. That's the one I do have. But if I'm just, for shits and giggles billboard, sorry for the foul language, but probably just a picture of me and be like, what's your other 2 witches? You know,
like that. That's what I should do. That's what I should do on our next billboard.
What's your other 2 wishes with us?
Exactly.
Like? Yeah, do like the Burt Reynolds, the famous picture of him naked laying on a bear rug. Like.
Dude, I'm so in.
Off the rails, love it.
And Dadcast is canceled.
Never.
Oh man, what's your favorite meal to cook for your kids?
Well, kids, let's see. Harrison will eat avocados, and Hudson pretty much is on a cracker diet, so it's kind of hard. Cooking wise, though, I like to grill. We do a lot of kebabs. Pineapple, chicken, shrimp, stuff like that. We'll dig into that a little bit. We do a lot of those.
Cool. Your biggest parenting accomplishment?
Being missed.
Good answer.
Like when I come home from a long trip, that's probably better than anything. Like just coming home from a long trip and just them boys just beside themselves running to you. Like that's priceless.
Ain't that cool, man? Mm.
That is great. Your favorite vacation spot to take the family?
Family, we haven't really done any yet. We went to Gulf Shores once, but favorite vacation, me and the wife so far, we've been to Key West 3 times. We love Key West.
I was in Key West 3 weeks ago.
There you go.
Oh man, I'm a big fish taco aficionado. Is that a word? And the mahi mahi, it's everywhere down there, as you know. Yeah, man, that's
making me hungry.
I'm sorry. And it's starving. Making me want to go back to South Florida, man. It's so awesome there.
I got a buddy that's a fishing guy there, so shout out to Bear.
All right, that's all I got for the Fast Five. It was a Fast 4 today.
Fast 3.5, this 4. This
whole having works. A full-time job is so weird. Like, I took the last year and a half off and decided, okay, I'm going to go back and sell cars until we start making some more money with the podcast. And it's just like, oh man, so weird. Like, doing the full-time job thing and trying to remember to, I was sitting at the car lot before I came here. And I'm like, crap, I didn't do the Fast Five.
It's all good, Nick. And you are Mr. Hustle. This shouldn't come as any shock or surprise to anybody. Right? I mean, all you do is go, go, go. You're like Stetson here. Right. You wake up, boom, hit feet at the floor, and it's...
I'm up at 3:30, hit the gym.
I was going to say, he's in the gym at the crack of dawn, this guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he is. Crazy. All right, so education. I've got a question. I'm not going to relate this into the Fast Five, but you mentioned your kids when you're gone and you come home. Is that often for you? I mean, I'm assuming when with promoting your brand, are you gone a lot?
Honestly, no. We do Rodeo Houston, Rodeo Austin, and then we do Calf Fry. It's a 3-day music festival in Oklahoma in Stillwater. We do that because it's just up the road. And then we do NFR, which is in Vegas. So I'm gone probably 2.5-3 months out of the year total. But what sucks, mine are all lumped up in one. Right. So like this, I'm here 18 days for this. And then I'm home till December, but then I'm gone in December, another 18 days straight. So a lot of marathons in the midst.
Right.
And hard because I get so much of my kids and so much of being at home with my family. And then it's just like ghosted. So it's really hard. We do a lot of FaceTime. We FaceTime 3 times already today, just talking to the boys and seeing what they're doing and, you know, making faces and all that. But
thank God for technology.
Yes. Yeah. I've been blessed. I don't have to leave much. And we just try to do like 4 marquee events a year. But past that, I'm at the home 10 months straight usually.
When is the Vegas show?
So the NFR is usually the first 15 days in December.
That just so happens to coincide with my birthday, Nick. Maybe we should make it.
We might have to do a December Vegas trip. Do something.
Maybe do it.
Last time you were hanging out with Steve Trevino.
Yeah, I went. so we had hooked. He got a hat somewhere and posted a picture in it. And I started listening to his comedy. So I was like, man, this cat's funny, and he gets it. You know, he's he's living the real life like we all are.
Yeah.
And he's talking about it. That's what's fun. He's talking about being a husband and being a father. So I hit him up, and then his manager started talking to me, and it just worked out. And usually in Vegas, man, I'm real disciplined. Like, I don't go out. I'm in the booth 8 hours a day. I've got phone calls and meetings and stuff to handle. So I try to get in bed by 9 o'clock most nights. And he was having a comedy show, so he invited me out to that, and I was really appreciative. Had a blast, and it was actually an HBO special, and I didn't know it. So I thought that was really cool because it was televised on HBO later.
Oh, sweet.
Impressive. Cool.
Yeah, he's one of the nicest guys that I've met off the doing the podcast and then just going, you know, further and texting him throughout since we've done the podcast and setting up other stuff with him. So it's been pretty cool to get to know him.
Yeah, the fun part of all this is the networking and the relationships you build. That's my favorite part about this, honestly.
Who is in Stetson Frost's mind? You're like, I'm putting you in the third person here. The most famous person you've ever collaborated with on any level.
Right now.
Or Mets or anything.
Yeah. Well, sports wise, actually I had a meeting yesterday with the Troy Aikman Foundation. Shout out to that. They're having a Highway to Henrietta event in June. Blake Shelton's the headliner for Country Music Festival. So I will soon meet Troy Aikman. So that's like probably a bucket list meet for me.
Damn.
But in person who I've met so far, we're actually in the works. We're in the final stages of Lane Frost's documentary that we're getting done. And Cody Johnson interviewed for it. And I actually went out to that interview and hung out. And so right now he's probably the most famous country singer going right now. So meeting Cody Johnson was really cool.
Nice.
That dude is amazing. Yeah.
Is there, for this documentary, is it all footage that's already been filmed, or are you filming new footage, and is someone playing Lane Frost?
So it's not like a movie doc where, you know, we have actors playing.
Right.
It's clips of Lane's old rides. It's interviews with close friends and family. It's interviews with guys like, you know, Cody Johnson that didn't meet him, but how he inspired and touched Cody's life. Guys like that. And then in the midst, clips of rodeo that isn't Lane, just showing the history of some of the events he went to. Cheyenne's a big premier event in the documentary for the fact that that's where Lane passed, and just all the history there with Lane. So it'd be kind of like a you know, the mini version of the Jordan, Michael Jordan doc, you know, right. where everybody's talking about it. And the only thing we're missing is we don't have Lane. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the only person we don't have that could interview for it. But the cool part, Lane's widow, Kelly, we were hesitant to ask just because, you know, you don't know if that's a touchy subject, but at this point, you know, I asked my grandmother Elsa, I said, you know, would you ask, you know, if she would interview, I think it'd be really important. You know, we want to hear all sides, because I didn't want Lane to be painted in a perfect light. He's not, he's human. He had failures just like all of us. And I feel like if you put people on a pedestal and you don't have the true story, you know, if people don't think they're human, you know, people mess up and that's just life. So having you know, the wife get on there and explain their story and their struggles and how they overcame their struggles, that was huge, because she was the only person that could give us that side of Lane.
Right.
So we're super excited about this. I mean, it's a tearjerker. We got a page for it. It's a Lane Frost doc. That's the Instagram. We have little clips of people interviewing about Lane, and we have like a 3-minute trailer on there. Y'all should go check it out. Like, it's going to be awesome.
Sweet.
Absolutely. When does it come out? When's it?
So we're in negotiations, having like a red carpet premiere, hopefully late summer, kind of just to get some hype behind it and get some feedback from some audience. And then once that's done, we've got a few streaming networks on the lam that are interested in buying it from us.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah, I'm loving all that.
Yeah, I'll keep you on the loop on when it drops. Okay. Sure.
Cool. All right. He is Stetson freaking Frost, driving force behind the Lane Frost brand, and of course the nephew of the legendary Lane Frost, joining us right here on Dadcast. Man, so how deep are you into the 18 days trip right now?
Oh man, I'm day 6. Oh. So I got a minute. Yeah, I'm here till the 26th.
Man, and you're in Austin.
I'm in Austin, yes sir.
It's not a bad place to be though.
No, there's some cool stuff to do, and this event's unique. Most events are, you know, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. You're there all day. This event, my booth is actually right next to the arena. Like, I sent you a picture the other night, or a video the other night of me. I was kind of spinning around, you know, showing him the view, and they're doing sound check. I mean, I can throw a rock at whoever's playing music. Oh, so wow. I get to see the rodeo and the music right from my booth, and my only event from 5 to midnight. So it's not a bad gig. The schedule's great. It's just, you know, missing the fam. If the fam was here, I'd be in heaven.
I hear that. That's why
I come out with you. Does the family ever come out with you for these things?
We try to do stuff. Like, they came to Austin for the set, or not Austin, but Houston for the setup. We went out and we set it up. We were there 6 days. I did as much business as I could do there, and then we went home so I could prep for this event. It's just hard, you know, at those ages. Almost 4 and almost 2 is just, or I say almost 2, he just turned 1. It's just hard, you know, because I have to give about 6 hours straight to this setup of grid wall products and doing all these things. And they're stuck in a hotel. And so, no, we try to, when we go on trips, for us, because it's just too hard. Makes it work with pleasure.
How did you get an hour out of your day today, and who's covering you right now?
So, well, we don't vent until tonight.
Okay.
But Rodeo Houston's going on. So I have my wholesale that handles all my wholesale accounts. She's our networker that handles our booth runner calendar. She's our liaison between them. She's there working the booth. And then one of our influencers named Reagan is there working the booth. And her and another girl have switched places. We had our other influencer, Josie. She was there 7 days. And then a shout out to Dina, one of our friends from high school. She actually lives in Houston. So she came down, or she comes to the booth and has helped as backup. So that's been great. So that event's over the 20th. So then we have to go pick up the trailer, pick up the vending stuff, take it home. And then this goes on to the 26th. So just a lot of moving parts. And I had a lunch meeting scheduled for 2 that I moved. Bullfighter Nathan Harp, we're actually in negotiations working with him. Going to make him a Lane Frost branded athlete.
Oh, cool. Nice. All right, man. I have one final question. I like to think of it as the most important question that I ever ask on Dadcast. So no pressure, Stetson.
Thanks.
All right. No pressure. If you could give one bit of advice to any guy who's about to become a dad, new dad, what's that going to be?
Don't take yourself too serious. You know,
I like that.
I want you to like expand on that.
Okay. So like, just,
I know what you mean, but I want to hear it.
Go with the flow. You know, you can't expect perfection. Don't put yourself in a situation that everything has to be perfect. Relish the moment. Do not take any of it for granted. Live each day like it's your last, you know, enjoy your children. But yeah, just lighten up almost, you know.
Don't take yourself so seriously. No one gets out of this thing alive.
Nope.
All right. Once again, man, he is Stetson Frost, driving force behind the Lane Frost brand. Of course, Lane Frost, legendary rodeo rider from back in the day. Man, we're pushing, 35 years now? Give or take?
Best.
Yeah. 30?
This 33 this year will be.
Whew. Man. Ah, gosh. It seems like just yesterday. I am that old.
Me too.
Stetson, I want to thank you very, very much for taking time out of your incredibly busy schedule. I am so glad we finally got to get together and do this, man. It's been fun. It's been amazing. Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, man.
And for everyone listening and watching worldwide, if you happen to be on YouTube, please like us up, subscribe, comment, do all that good stuff. This episode has been brought to you locally by KMVU Fox 26. And we'll see you all next week. Thank you very much.